Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Amen. So Forrest Gump went to heaven, and St. Peter came upon him at the pearly gates, and he said, you know, Forrest, it's certainly good to see you, but it's getting a little tougher to get into heaven. We have now a test, and it's going to require 3 questions that you need to answer. And of course, Forrest said, I'm not very good at tests. But he said, I'll try. So St. Peter said, well, the first question is, what 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? The second question is, how many seconds are there in a year? And the third question is, what is God's first name? So Forrest leaves and he thinks over all these questions, and of course he comes back and he says, St. Peter, I think I'm ready to take the test. He said, well, what's the answer to the question, how many days begin with the letter T? He said, shucks, that was an easy one. Today and tomorrow. And then St. Peter said, oh, not what I was thinking, Forrest, but I guess that'll have to do. Okay, I'll give you that one. He said, how about the second question? How many seconds are there in the year? Well, that one was a little harder, and I thunk, and I guess the only answer is 12. 12, says St. Peter. How did you come up with 12? He said, well, I finally realized that there were 12 seconds in the year. There's January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd. And he keeps going. Hold it, says St. Peter. Wait a minute. I see where you're going with this, but, you know, that's not quite what I was thinking. But I'm going to give it to you anyway, because I wasn't very clear on what I meant. All right, here's the last question. Can you tell me what God's first name is? He says, sure, it's Andy. Andy says, okay, wait a minute. Now, I got to know, how did you come up with this one, Forrest? And he said, it's real easy. When I was younger, I learned that in the garden song, it says, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me that I am his own. St. Peter opens the pearly gates and says, run, Forrest, run. Oh, man. So we're starting this series about Simon Peter. Simon Peter's this man. He's a faithful but flawed disciple. Peter's not perfect. He's just a fisherman. He loves to fish. He does it as a business for his family, and his friends are all involved in the same business. But, of course, he lives in a community where not everybody in his community understands what it means for them to be people of faith, people of God. These are Gentiles, people who are just people of the land. And so he finds it difficult to actually practice his faith in a world around him. And I think we're sometimes like that as well. A world in which we try to live out our Christian faith among people that are different from us, among people who can't understand why we have a faith in something or someone that we can't see and we don't know. Yet this man, Simon Peter, did. He walked with him. He walked alongside of them every day. This man named Jesus, to whom he believed was the Christ, he was the Messiah, he believed he was the Son of God. So we're going to begin our story this morning. It's on the Sea of Galilee. I don't know how many of you have ever been there, but let's just pretend that this room is like the Sea of Galilee, right? And it's very small. It's not even a sea at all. And on the sides around, surrounding the sea, are these 1,600-foot little hills. People from up north would call them hills. I call them mountains because we live in Florida. So these mountains are around them. And it's the air on top of the mountains. It's cool and it's dry, and it comes down and it reaches the low-lying lake where it's hot and humid, and storms seem to come up quite often. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 22 to 34. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was alone there. But by the time the boat had been battered by the waves, it was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But suddenly Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you out onto the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water and he came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came then to the land of Gennesaret. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have ever been on a boat when all of a sudden a storm comes up? Have you? Yeah, okay, several of you. It can be frightening, right? The thought of being on a boat, especially a small one, when it starts raining and the water's landing inside the boat can be scary. Today we're talking about walking with Jesus in the storms. And I remember when I was in high school, friends of mine, we went from Lakeland to Anna Maria. It's a small little town north of Sarasota on Longboat Key. We took out a small little boat in the Gulf of Mexico. We decided that we were going to go water skiing. I don't know how many of you have ever water skied on the Gulf of Mexico, but there's times when it's really calm. So we went out there that afternoon. We had a great time. We were enjoying this fun day. When we were heading back to the marina, all of a sudden this storm came out of nowhere. That happens in Florida, especially in the afternoon. So this thunderstorm came up. The waves were getting heavier, and the thunder and the lightning, we were scared. We're like crouched down behind the center console on this little 18-foot boat. And there we were praying, literally praying, just to get back to shore safely. So one minute we're water skiing on this calm water. The next minute we're praying for our lives. Peter, though, in our story, decides in the midst of the storm to get out of the boat. And he starts walking towards Jesus. Being frightened again, he says, "Save me, Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out to him. And what does he say? "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" You see, the key word here is faith. Faith is what we need. Faith is what we need to have in all of us. I want to turn to another scripture reading from Mark's Gospel, this time from chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. It's a similar account of the exact same story. "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up to the mountain to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land, and he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried because they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. The loaves were a reference of feeding 5,000 people just before the men left the shore of the lake. The story is the same, but the main point is slightly different. In this account, Jesus is telling them to take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. The key word, courage. When life storms hit us, we have to take courage and not be afraid. It's not an easy thing to do. We have to have faith and we have to have courage in the midst of the storm. In our story, the wind was against them. They were having a difficult time crossing the lake. They had just fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a couple fish. But Jesus departed them. And I had to ask myself, why? Why did Jesus leave them right then and there? Why didn't he ask them to come up to the mountain with him? I wondered why Jesus didn't have them pray where they were. But he said, I wonder why they had to make this journey. And Jesus is telling them because he wanted to show them how to have faith and he wanted to show them how to have courage. Jesus doesn't conceal himself, though. He doesn't hide from the disciples. He can actually, as the scripture says, see them from where he's at. And he sees when they're getting into trouble and then he goes out to them. As Christians, we have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship that requires certain attributes that can be developed and can be learned, these kind of behaviors that our scouts learn. They have to learn about trust and faith and courage and confidence. These are the things that are needed. So let me share a story with you. A Christian missionary had served in several tropical countries. He was a missionary to a place called Cuba, not too far from us. And there they were in the midst of a storm, the biggest storm of the century. An electric pole fell and hit the parsonage, the home that the missionaries lived in. He and his wife and their two children. The neighbors came through the wind and the rain to rescue the family. And they carried the children across the winds and the sprawling wires that were all over the place to safety. In the midst of fear, in the midst of darkness and uncertainty, God saw them through the storm to continue their missionary journey. In the midst of a storm, our courage and confidence and trust and faith can come from God. Despite our fears, and knowing storms can come up at any moment in our life, like seafarers, they have to have courage and confidence and trust for a safe return. I think it's reassuring and calming and even renewing for our souls when we're able to supersede our fears. In other words, there's benefits to our soul that far outweigh the fear of the obstacles that are around us. Jesus chose to build his ministry around a seafaring people, around a seafaring island of or surrounding the Sea of Galilee. He grew up only 16 miles from the sea. And I've got to believe he liked the water. He was probably a lot like us. I mean, we must like the water. We come to a place that's surrounded by water, the state of Florida. Simon Peter spent his entire life around this whole water and boating and fishing. And I wonder how many times he probably crossed back and forth with his friends. It was the easiest way to get from one place to another, was to cross in the center. But you heard the story from Matthew, and you heard the story from Mark. Now I want to tell you the story from John 6, verses 15 to 21. Again, 5,000 people had just been fed, and the people were coming in mass towards Jesus. Here's what John writes. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming toward them or near the boat. And they were terrified. And he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." And they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. I wonder why they were so terrified. So I started looking into this, and I realized that the people during that period of time, they weren't real sure how deep the water was. So they actually believed that at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, there was a porthole to the underworld, the realm of the dead. Okay, it made sense then. I think if I were out in the middle of a boat and I really believed that in the bottom of the sea, a ghost is coming towards me, that I'm going to be taken to this underworld. But then Jesus reassures them, and he speaks up and he said, "It's me, don't be afraid." You see, these are stories, they remind us that Jesus is there and he's watching us. Jesus is watching you wherever you are, whatever's going on, whatever life storm you're in the midst of. Every week, people turn in these little prayer cards that I mentioned. There's requests for prayer for people that are struggling with depression and people whose marriages are having difficulties. And then there's those that are tempted with drugs and with alcohol. There's health concerns. There's being bullied. There's loss of jobs and there's income reductions. There's not knowing what to do once we're retired and loss of a friend. And there's losses of a family member or loss of even a pet. And the list goes on and on. You see, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And he's teaching us that we need to pray in the midst of a storm. But he never takes his eyes off of us. When we walk through those storms, they will be inevitable. We will have them. We will face them. But he says to us, don't be afraid. In fact, those little words, "don't be afraid," are most frequently spoken words, the most frequently spoken words from God to humans. God says over 140 times in the Bible, "Do not be afraid." When the waves are coming and fear is setting in, when you're wondering whether or not you're going to survive on that path, when you're wondering whether or not you're going to make it through the next journey, the next hurdle, that next class, that next trip, remember that Jesus is there. And somehow, when you have faith and when you have trust in that, you begin to gain courage and confidence and realize the storm is a lot less terrifying. You see, that boat represents safety, security, the status quo, our comfort zone. And I find it amazing how there were 12 people on that boat, but only one felt that they could get off with confidence. There were 11 other people on that boat that even didn't ever thought about getting off of it. But only Simon Peter. The rest stayed because they were afraid of what could happen. My question for you this week, for you to think about, is what is your boat? What is the thing that's holding you back from living a full life? What's causing you to not leave that comfort zone? What fear is keeping you from experiencing a richer and fulfilling life? Fear is everywhere. And we struggle with fear all the time. Even Forrest Gump was afraid when he got to the pearly gates of a test. How many of you guys like tests? You do? Wow. I didn't. I'm still having nightmares that I didn't graduate. But the only test, though, for eternal life, the only true test is the test of faith and trust and confidence and courage when you believe in Jesus. Simon Peter was a flawed disciple. He was just an ordinary person like each one of us. Simon Peter was a person that feared but had faith. The Gospels love to tell his story. And here in history, we have something that we can then learn from. Peter reminds us all, he reminds each and every one of us, that Jesus will come and stand beside us in the storm. And that night on the boat, when Peter's faith was failing, he believed. He was reassured. Reassured to the point that he said to Jesus, "You must be the Son of God. God will never pass you by." Let us pray. Lord, help us to be the disciples you want us to be. Help us answer your call to be brave and to climb out of that boat, whatever that boat may be. Help us to leave our comfort zone, to walk towards you. And when I'm beset by the storms, when I feel like I'm sinking, take my hand and rescue me. Climb into my boat with me, Lord. Calm the wind that blows me off course. And calm the waves that surround me. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As the ushers get ready.